Now, I hope that shakes us awake a little bit about who we are and how we relate to the world we live in, especially as we see difficult times approaching. You can begin right now if you haven't already begun, and I know many of you are well past this. This is maybe simplistic to many of you. But, you know, it's good to be reminded. I mean, I'm supposed to be the teacher. I don't like carrying the title of teacher because James says teachers have to answer to a greater judgment than other people do. But if you are in that position of communicating truth to people and you find that you're not keeping up with it yourself, then it becomes a great blessing when you hear messages from other people that remind you where you should be and what you should be doing. You know, Peter says in, I think, 1 Peter or 2 Peter, one of them, he says, I'm reminding you of these things. I'm stirring them up into your remembrance, even though I know you know them. And Paul tells the Philippians, I've told you these things before, but I don't mind repeating them because for you it is safe to repeat these things to you. It's a safe thing for you. It's a good thing for you. So if I'm saying things that are simplistic or things that we all should have known since grammar school or Sunday school, I'm not so sure that's a bad thing when I realize how easily we let slip away from us the things that matter the most. And what does it profit a man if he preaches great sermons but speaks unkindly to his family or gripes and complains about everything under the sun? And you'd be surprised, maybe you wouldn't, about how many great preachers publicly have terrible reputations behind closed doors. Certainly not all of them. I don't want to put that in your thinking that every preacher you see is a hypocrite who is a terror behind closed doors. But I deal so often with pastors' families where, for whatever reason, his public persona doesn't match anything like his private interaction with his family. And depression and all the negative issues that relate to it, I believe, can be traced back most of the time, with rare exceptions, to a heart disease of ingratitude and complaint levied against God, rooted in some disappointment or some frustration or some unfulfilled dream or some broken relationship. And it has festered into a fountain of poison that is infecting everything. Hebrews 12 says, and Deuteronomy 29 says, a root of bitterness will defile everything around it. And so let's purge out the poison and the mixture. See, this here again deals with this struggle that I've been addressing over the last few months of spiritual mixture, where the holy and the unholy, which cannot coexist, mix together and produce a poison fountain.